to start us out just by introducing yourself.
Okay. Well, Adet Denali Hodgson to Ezra, Melinda Chasing on David Hodgson to Tot, Githernachig, Sadnaknik, Yet Histan, Fairbanks Listow. Hello, everybody. My name is Denali Hodgson. I am Sopiak and Degatan Athabaskan from the villages of Sadnaknik and Anbik on the Yukon River. And I am the creator and host of On the Land Podcast, a podcast and media organization designed to center the voices of Indigenous people.
Thank you so much for joining us, Denali. I appreciate taking some time to talk with us. If you could just start us off, we'll talk a little bit about your experiences fishing in Bristol Bay, a little bit about yourself, and all that good stuff.
Yeah, so like I said, I'm originally from Sadnaknik on my father's side. So I'm a Hodgdon related to the Anseganoks and the Zimmons over in the Naknek side. I grew up going back home mostly in the summer when my father was still around. He passed away about 5 years ago. It will be 6 years this December. And it is a place that I, you know, call home, that I have been intimately attached to, even though I have grown up also partially in town, in the city, in Fairbanks. and so my summer is spent back home, where they were what I looked forward to during the winter, to be able to be home, walk the beaches, put away fish, and have family time, have the time that we all get to participate in when the salmon are running and everybody has to hit the net and hit the beach in order to pull fish in for winter. And then, you know, I grew up doing mostly subsistence work, but I think the first time I did some commercial fishing on a set net site was when I was 11. And then again, when I was 15 and I was able to set net with my cousins down on the south side of Naknek. And that was where I just knew that I was going to be a commercial fisherwoman for the rest of my life. it was a beautiful time. My family has about 3 sites that they fish, and I no longer fish with them, but it was what got me first exposed to commercial set netting. And there's nothing like going and delivering your first bit of catch. so that's kind of how I first got introduced to it. And most recently, I've been fishing out of the Nooshigak. I graduated from high school in 2014, and post-graduation, I was able to gain a job in Denali National Park, working as a cultural interpreter, which gave me a profound amount of skills, but it also wasn't home. It wasn't the place that I necessarily wanted to be. My heart was always calling me back to the water, back to the ocean, back to the bay. So each season, I would try to find a way to get back home in order to do any kind of fishing, whether that was just subsistence fishing, which I was able to go back throughout the summers and, you know, have a week here or 4 days there in order to put away fish with my aunts and uncles and with my mom. But it wasn't that chunk of time that I wanted to be out there, because I knew ultimately I wanted to be commercial fishing. And so I almost quit my first season as a rookie raft guide in Denali National Park in order to come out fishing in the bay. That was the year that we had an enormous amount of catch that really spurred off these last few record years. and so that was really hard to sit on the sidelines while that season was going on. But I also had an obligation to finish my rookie year as a raft guide. But through that experience, I was able to get connected to my first commercial fishing boat out of the Nooshigak and hopped on to crew for them in the next summer of 2018. And then crewed last year as well out in the Nooshigak. And this year decided to stay back in a variety of ways due to coronavirus and what it means to be back in the bay as somebody that is, you know, from the region, but is also lives away from the region during the wintertime as of right now.
How hard was it to come to that decision to stand down this year? And of course, if you'd like to elaborate more on why you stood down for fishing this year.
You know, it was a hard decision, mostly because it's been such a hard journey to make it home to fish. I decided to stand down for a variety of reasons. I think at the forefront, with the podcast, I had a cousin that ended up calling me up and saying, "Hey, I think you need to talk to my other cousin because we just don't know what to do with this whole coronavirus thing and the implications of what it means to possibly be facing another global pandemic in the Bay." Our families already remember, and we have the intergenerational memory of the 1918-1919 Spanish flu epidemic that made its way into the Bay, in a large part due to the commercial fishing industry. And that orphaned an entire generation, you know, the generation around my grandparents, my great-grandparents' era. And so, you know, holding that intergenerational memory and understanding that our villages are still disproportionately impacted by the lack of, you know, medical care that the rest of the United States has much easier access to, was a very, that was at the forefront of my mind. And so after that conversation with my cousin, where we were discussing, you know, the Spanish flu epidemic and its repercussions, and then speaking to, you know, well, what happens to the markets as well when we're under a global pandemic? You know, is it even smart to be going out financially this season? Were a few things that I was holding close. I really waited until I heard from our tribes, the tribes in the area, about what they wanted to do and how they wanted to move forward with the coronavirus. So I also waited until there was a, you know, an announcement that was made before I made a decision personally about whether or not I was going to be going out. And ultimately, you know, a lot of our tribes asked that people did not go back to Bristol Bay to fish this year. You know, the fish return every year, and we have the opportunity for the most part to continue to fish in Bristol Bay. But what happens when we lose our elders and we lose an entire generation of knowledge? That is not something that comes back with the season. That's something that is, when it's gone, it's gone. And what most people don't realize, especially out of Alaska, is that we are very young in our statehood. We are very young in our colonization. We still remember and have a lot of that old knowledge around to a certain degree, and yet we also still have to be maintaining it and really pushing to keep it alive during a time where we continue to hear that our life ways do not matter, whether that is from state mandates that say, hey, you know, commercial fishing right now is a mandatory operation, and people need to continue to go out there in order to keep these markets alive. And yeah, I guess I'll stop there.
Thank you for sharing that.